Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the coast with the most growth, with your host, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken.
All right, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your
show for the coast with the most growth.
Yep, and I'm Jason Lee, and this is
Clint Aiken.
Yeah, and we are here today with Russell Hamley and with ABC. And before we dive in to what Russell does and a little bit about his organization, let's just make sure we hit the topics of today's show and really the agenda, right? And so our goal is to really highlight ABC. I think they're kind of a partnering, collaborative organization that works with the Economic Alliance. They do a lot of great things, and we're excited to hear, you know, their story about Russell and the impact that they're having in the region. We're also going to get some great insights to some industrial trends that are happening in the construction. An industrial construction space, so we're excited to hear about that. And so, good. As we turn it over to Russell, he'll give us the kind of the insight about his qualifications and his experience and the things that brought him here today. So, Russell, let's turn it over to you.
Okay, first a little bit about myself. I've been working at ABC for 23 years now as the president of ABC. I found my way there pretty much by accident. I spent about 20 years in the commercial construction and development business, built some high-rise towers around downtown in the Galleria area, and found myself without a job one day due to a recession, and found my way to an association I was very familiar with, and they just happened to have a need for someone of my skill sets. And I found out very shortly that I had some I really liked association work. It's a little bit different, very steady work, and doesn't follow the ups and downs of the economic cycles. And I feel like I have some skill sets that make it work for the Houston economy and helping the construction industry in general.
All right, well, that's fantastic, Russell. And I think, you know, it sounds like just that amount of experience and diversification probably helps cater to your clients, right, and to the folks that you serve.
Very much so. I'm very familiar with the commercial industry because of my experience, but I've gained a lot of knowledge on the industrial sector because a lot of our big members are industrial contractors, and they do business a little bit differently. It's all construction, but it differentiates itself between what the end product is.
Right, right.
I kind of had a similar experience, to be perfectly honest, getting into the industry. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your flow a little bit. But I used to build swimming pools, and that's how I put myself through college. I worked for a company that built pools, and so that's when I learned about the construction industry. So kind of like you, I kind of had a similar intro into it, and that's led to so many other things. So it's amazing what a construction opportunity can lead to.
Absolutely, yeah.
I had one of those drains that where the water flows off the side of your house, fall off my house, it's been off it for a week because I can't figure out how to get it done. So any, if you happen to know a guy, that'd be great.
I probably know a few thousand.
Maybe know a few thousand. Yeah. Fantastic. Pays to know people, Clint.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that being said, you know, you talked a little bit about some of the things and the types of clients you work with, but really give us the overarching theme about ABC. We want to know more about that.
Okay, well, Associated Builders and Contractors started in 1950 in Baltimore. It was pretty much a regional organization that focused on making sure that everybody was rewarded projects based on their merit. It looks like we are pro open shop, but actually we just want it to be all contractors and all employees can choose whether to join a union or join the open shop. They want to make sure that the playing field is balanced. Back in 1969, Brown and Root was getting threatened by the unions. Brown and Root chose to work open shop, and the unions made it very public they were going to go out and destroy Brown and Root and their businesses because they weren't hiring union workers. ABC came to Texas at the invitation of Brown and Root, and we formed a chapter here. First of all, it was a state chapter, and then we quickly divided into 8 regional chapters within the state. And that was the emphasis to really grow ABC across the country. And so now we have 70 chapters across the country.
Wow.
Houston, to think, is the best chapter, not quite the biggest, but we have a lot of great contractors as members here. And of course, we continue to this day to work for the merit shop to make sure that all construction, whether it's union or open shop, is treated fairly is particularly in the public sector.
Okay.
All right. I think it's, I think a lot of people misinterpret how important it is to have an advocate that supports and understands the dynamics of those folks that are going out and getting the work done, similar to what this organization does in the petrochem and industrial maritime space. It's really critical to have kind of a liaison between all those different moving parts that can go out there and almost bridge the gap sometimes. I think that it's powerful what you guys are doing.
Very definitely. I mean, we're basically set up to make sure that everybody is treated fairly and equally, and everybody has the opportunity to both the employers that are trying to hire a skilled workforce and the employees that are looking for employment and gainful employment that will give them the lifestyle that they're looking for.
Right. When I think of trade organizations like ABC, I also think y'all are kind of the backbone of the industry, right? So, I mean, without y'all being there and doing what you do, it would really slow down the progress of other of the companies that are members being able to move forward.
Absolutely, yeah. We certainly promote the industry, and we have a lot of workforce development programs now to make sure that the industry has a skilled, sustainable workforce into the future.
We probably should have told you in advance about the royalty agreement for that. but we'll talk more about it after the show.
Okay.
For the plug. I know I was at the procurement breakfast, or you don't have to procurement. I'm sorry. The breakfast you guys hosted for your member base, I guess last month.
Right.
And the one thing that really stood out to me was the emphasis on not only collaboration, recognition for those that were doing great work in the industry, mm-hmm. but the channel of communication that was getting distributed amongst the members, right? You have people who are potentially working their way up to trying to grow their companies to some of the biggest companies in Houston, and the opportunity for them to exchange ideas and connect and serve, I think is huge, especially for, if I was starting a construction company or an industrial construction company and trying to figure out where to rub elbows with the right people to grow my business, I feel like that would have been just the most ideal atmosphere for it.
I don't think it's an accident that our membership is filled with large members. They weren't large members when they joined ABC, but they're large members now. Large companies doing a tremendous volume of work.
Right.
Because of what they gained from ABC involvement. The small companies that join ABC tend to become big companies because of the services and the benefits of ABC membership. The other thing that you mentioned that always still tickles me a little bit is that we have contractors that are fierce enemies, not enemies, but opponents. They're bidding for work.
They're frenemies. Right.
Okay, there we go. And on bid day, they will compete tooth and nail to find a way to win the project. But then I can bring them in that afternoon and we'll collaborate together on some issue that concerns the entire industry. And they work together on that. They shake hands. The camaraderie actually is quite interesting because the next morning they'll be out competing against each other again. But I can bring them together and they realize that if they can take a time out from their competitiveness and find solutions to problems that plague not just the two companies in the room, but the entire industry. And that's what we're all about, is trying to find ways to improve the industry for the betterment of everybody.
Yeah, if you look at most professional athletes or professional organizations or people who really are trying to take their craft to the next level in the off seasons and the downtime when they're not on the field competing, a lot of the best players from opposing teams are practicing and working out together,
training
ideas together to then step on the feet and compete against each other. But if I'm trying to get better, I want the best guy sitting across from me sharing ideas and trading practices. It's almost like y'all are like a giant mastermind, you know, if you think about it.
Very, very definitely. And they also want good competition. They don't want somebody that doesn't follow the rules, cheats, steals, hires untrained workers, maybe illegal, to be competing against them. It messes up the entire industry. They want good competition, so they want their competition to be good and competitive. Not necessarily better than them, but they want to make sure they're right there with them. So then when there's plenty of work, it's particularly in the Houston market, for everybody. They want to get their share. Yeah, they are competitive, but they also want to make sure that their competition knows what they're doing. Because a bad actor can ruin a lot of things, a lot of projects, mm-hmm. and the industry itself. And, you know, before you know it, you have government come down on you with new rules and regulations that nobody wants or needs.
One of the things that jumped out, because the same day that you were, I went to that breakfast, was the last time we had our shoot
right.
for our other episodes, and we had some folks on talking about safety. And one of the things that really stood out to me was the amount of recognition and acknowledgement you guys put out for the safety awards. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that the one that gets the jacket, or is that not the safety?
That was for membership involvement.
Got
but
it.
You're right. We recognized over 100 contractors that day for what they do in safety. And again, we have 400 members, so not everybody was getting an award. But we certainly have a lot of contractors that safety is a key part of their business program.
Right. Fantastic.
Yeah. So one of the things we discussed is some of the industrial trends that are coming up. Can you kind of speak on that a little bit?
Well, first of all, business is good on both sectors of the industry. The commercial sector, as long as people are moving into town, there's commercial buildings that need to be built, from schools, churches, shopping, office buildings. And so you've seen the population growth in the community. You know, fills up the freeways and it fills up everything else where we have to have more of them. So business is good on the commercial side. The industrial side, it's even better. There's just a tremendous amount of both large mega projects and some of these major plants, but also just a lot of work for small expansions. And of course, the ongoing maintenance and turnarounds continue to happen. So Houston really is attracting contractors from across the country. If you're a contractor in Topeka, Kansas, wherever, you're looking to expand your business, where are you going to go to? Well, all of a sudden, everybody's looking at Houston. And I get calls monthly of companies that want to come into town, and they ask me about how to set up shop here. And again, just adds more competition to the area. A lot more resources, but it's good competition that's going to improve the industry. So the biggest trend is there's very, very few companies that ever leave town. Once you got a beachhead in Houston,
right.
Business is good. And it's generally better here than anywhere else. And so they tend to stay. The biggest trend that we have is that we don't have a big enough skilled workforce. It's a mm-hmm. trend across the country. But definitely here in Houston, there's a shortage of skilled workers. And we work to alleviate that problem. Our biggest program that we have by far is our training program to train the workforce. So it's a issue of recruiting into the industry, training the people, and then retaining them once they get their skill sets. Because once they have skills to be an electrician or a welder or a pipe fitter, they can go anywhere they want to. I mean, it's there's construction going on all over the country, all over the world for that matter. But I want to say there's this tremendous amount of work here. But the issues that we've been dealing with primarily for the last 6 or 8 years has been workforce development.
Right. And we had Dr. Steve Horton on the show. He kind of addressed some of the CMES stuff. And we can get into that a little bit further. But, yeah, that it's amazing what you guys are doing in that space. And it's
right.
amazing how they're starting them off in high school. Y'all are reaching down to that level and getting people interested in the industry. And you know, we've had this conversation many, many times with most of our guests about how the opportunities that are available now are so good. They're so good. They're well-paid jobs. They're you know, you're going in, you're doing some good work, and you're going home safe at the end of every day. And these contractors are really doing a good job of keeping their workers safe and compensating them very generously.
It is amazing to me what people are getting paid now. I know one of my contractors just hired some people straight out of high school for $24 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. I'm amazed at that. And these are, I want to say children, but young adults that really didn't have a full set of skills. I mean, they had taken some classes in high school. They showed the aptitude to learn, and they're bring these people on board with the ability, they're going to offer them free to the employee more training so that they can get a journeyman's license, essentially, to do what they're doing.
And in the past, I mean, to become a journeyman or whatever, there's usually a time where you didn't get paid and you had to do the work to prove yourself, and now those programs are becoming paid, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Our program is all based on the apprenticeship model, where you work during the day, get paid well, and then go to school at night, learn a full set of the skills, and then after 3 or 4 years at a normal schedule, some people can compress it into two, then they get paid full journeyman's wages, which are, you know, bumping $30 an hour and even higher now.
Right.
Welders are making a lot of money.
Right.
I'm even surprised at that, what they get paid.
Yeah, I think the thing that more of our, you know, I guess the owners and the operators, you know, they all say what the challenge is, and then we hear of organizations like yours. You know, I know a lot of our passion over here and even inside the Economic Alliance is the workforce development space. And I think as you guys continue to champion that, that really is, you know, if there was like a DEFCON red alert mode, that's really where all resources have got to get applied. And I know they're building an industrial trade school in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. They're starting to create more programs that speak out into that next generation of employees. So it's amazing what you guys are doing. But if, you know, to our audience, you know, if I'm looking for a place to create a foothold or a level of impact, I always talk to people who want to serve or get back, you know, but they don't know where to start. I was like, you can call, I'm learning. You can call any of these places and say, how do I give to that next layer of generation of industrial workforce that we need? Because there's lots of, we need resources, people, money, all kinds of ways for that to become the next thing, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. One of the amazing things about our program is that the ABC members recognize that, and they give a cents per hour based on the number of work hours that they put together, funding that supports this program.
Wow.
So it's essentially free to the employees, to the students. They pay a little bit just to have a little bit of skin in the game. I'm talking about $50 a semester or something like that.
Yeah.
For a program that costs, you know, $1,000 to put on and run for them. It's essentially all paid for by industry through our TCA program. When I first learned about it, when I came to work at ABC, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're offering this training program that is advertised by for-profit companies for $10,000 a semester or some phenomenal. And of course, they try to get the students to borrow the money through government loans, which are hard to pay back. You heard about the student debt problem that we have in this country. These students are first of all, making a good living while they're going to school, have free training. When they get out, there's no obligation. They can take that training wherever they want to. I mean, it's a phenomenal program. Our biggest challenge is getting the word out to people.
Okay.
I guess even before that, though, another thing that we were working on is recruiting into the industry. The construction industry, for a myriad of reasons over the last couple of decades, was not a desirable industry for young people to get into. And we've worked and done tremendous work to improve it. First of all, safety. No one wants to get hurt when they go to work. The Safety Council's done phenomenal work in conjunction with ABC. We have a lot of additional training programs along the lines of safety, mostly employer culture type programs, so that you go to work in an environment that is based on safety. Second of all, we have the skills training, so people aren't guessing on how to do certain work. They know how to do it. They learn how to do it. And they can capture those skills, and those are lifetime skills they can take with them. The employees are treated better. The benefits that they now get, it used to be very few benefits. And now most ABC members are given great benefits as far as health insurance, different types of 401k problems or profit sharing. It's going back into a middle class or even an upper middle class profession with how you're being treated in there. The working conditions are much different now. And of course, the tools and the machinery, while it's still, sometimes you have to get in a ditch with a shovel, a lot of times you use machines to dig those ditches for them. And I'm always surprised at how many iPads are around the job site. You used to see hammers and screwdrivers. Now you see a hammer and an iPad as people go around and do their jobs.
Right.
It's changed a lot. First of all, because the technology has changed, but also the employees, the younger generation wants to, first of all, get some satisfaction with building something, but they also want to have technology at their fingertips also.
Wow.
So the whole thing has changed dramatically over the last 10 years. I think we've made great strides in making sure that we have a safe, competent, well-paid, full benefits workforce, and we are starting to see people being attracted to it. As you mentioned, we have 66 high schools now that are teaching NCCER-based construction training programs in their schools.
Yeah,
over 8,000 students. And it gives them an opportunity to see what the industry is about, see what potential they have. And there's those students that gravitate to that, and that's what they want to do. And we still don't touch them until they get out of high school. You go get your diploma. But then when you get your diploma, come see us. We can put you to work immediately, and we can train you for next to nothing.
Right.
And so it's a win-win for everybody. Certainly the employees have the benefits of a good, sustainable job with full skills, and the employers have a skilled workforce that they need. And then beyond that, the people they work for, their clients, the Shells and Exxons of the world, they get to build what they want in a timely basis at a reasonable cost, and something that they can use those new refineries that they built to maximize their profits also.
Wow, right.
So it's a win across the board.
Right.
Well, that's exciting. And I think right now would probably be a good time to take a little commercial break.
Yeah.
So we'll get back to our sponsors real quick. We'll come back and highlight a few big news and announcements, things that we have going on inside of ABC, and then wrap up the show.
McCarthy Building Companies. From the Museum of Fine Arts to terminals on the Ship Channel, we understand the challenges and complexities you face when building here in the Gulf Coast. As the oldest privately held national construction company in the country, we have a clear focus on clients, community, and collaboration.
Welcome back. We really do appreciate our sponsors. We couldn't do this without them. So, you know, before we took the break, we're kind of talking about just all the good things that you guys are doing. And y'all have some special events coming up, right? So can you kind of touch on those for us?
We have two major events coming up. First of all, our workforce development dinner. You mentioned the breakfast where we recognize safety. This is where we're going to recognize workforce development programs that our members are doing. First of all, they're supporting the CMEF program for workforce development, but also our members are doing their own programs, from reaching out to second chance people to military veterans, and then working within the high schools and in the community colleges. They're basically searching and trying to get our word out of what we can provide people if they choose to join the construction industry. Anyway, that workforce development program is September 26th, and it's the first one we've done in quite a while now, and so we're expecting a big crowd at that. A lot of the members will be there, like the breakfast that you talked about, and certainly we want to recognize those programs and give them a little bit attention, both within the industry and also some media attention.
And for our non-members of ABC, but maybe our audience, they're considering ABC or learning more about workforce development. Is something like that open to them to buy a ticket, come to the table, or
it's pretty much restricted to ABC members.
Yeah. All right, so get a membership. And that's important. So, yeah. But, and then what else?
We also have an Excellence in Construction program on October 17th. That's where we recognize projects that have been built throughout the Houston region by our members. They submit it for recognition a couple months ago. We have a team of judges, and then we recognize the best projects in the Houston market. And it's a phenomenal assortment of schools and hospitals and refineries and turnarounds and different things. I always love going through the submittals and seeing what our members build, because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's why they're all in business, is to build these monuments. And I think one of the things that attracts people to the industry is that 10, 50 years from now, those things will be there, and they can say, you know, I helped put that up. I helped direct this building, this school, this church, whatever it is that our members are building. And it's a lasting monument to the work that they do and the skills that they have, that they can leave a legacy. And it's always the industry takes a lot of pride in the work they do, and it's there. It's not something other industries, you do something and it's gone a week from now. But these buildings and what have you they're there to last. I mean, basically throughout your lifetime, you'll be able to see.
Yeah, so I'm actually third generation Houstonian.
Okay.
And so my great-grandfather actually did civil infrastructure here in Houston. And my grandfather did some civil infrastructure here in Houston. And it's interesting driving around town because I can still see the stuff that they built, right? I mean, they're long gone, but it's just cool to see.
Well, I bet you they pointed it out when you drove by when you were younger.
Yeah. So Clinton Drive actually was master engineered by my great-grandfather. So that's my namesake. Kind of cool.
Oh, that is really cool.
Yeah.
I know my kids got tired. Said, yeah, Dad, I know. You know, when we pass a building that I built, like Transco Tower, they go, yeah, Dad, I know. You worked on that project.
You did that?
I was a construction manager on that project.
Yeah. Oh, very wow. Cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
And so that's going to stay there for quite a while.
Your face is on the landscape of Houston, basically. So right. That's awesome.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm sure with all the excellence in construction, you probably have kind of an eye for any of these things. Is there anything in the construction world that you drive by that just really stands out to you that you think, man, that was some impressive work besides the Transco Tower?
this town is filled with obviously large buildings, but also just different structures. I mean, you drive down 225, and if you really know what you're looking at, and those oil and gas refineries and chemical plants are phenomenal. And in the ship channel, this is a one of a kind situation where you have all this manufacturing going on, the products that come in and out. And, you know, most people don't get a chance to see that.
Right.
They're unaware of how busy the ship channel is. They've probably heard of it or something like that. But it is the lifeblood of Houston industry, really, is to get product in the and then change it somewhat and then move it out to the consumers.
It's interesting that you say that, because I before I started taking such a vested interest in our region, I just drove and I never really observed it. And then I was driving back and coming, you know, over the bridge, and now I'll look over at shipyards and I'll look into things and I'll see the cars lined up and I'll see the pipe all getting ready to get transferred someplace. And I'm just looking at it going, man, God, we're lucky. You know, we have such a great opportunity, such an opportunistic region for us to go out and create things. And just fortunate to be a part of it. It's just,
I know,
amazing.
Those wind turbine blades really drive everybody nuts on traffic. But when I see that, I get excited because I'm like, man, they're building something out of that. You know, that came through the Port of Houston. That was a lot of jobs. That's a lot of work for people. Mm-hmm. And that's going somewhere that's going to be built.
Yep.
So I know it's annoying to drive through and get behind them or get stuck around them. But, man, it does kind of change your perspective when you see those things and you realize how many jobs and how many opportunities are created from those when you see those things.
Right.
So we've talked a lot about the region, a lot about industry. You've done such a great job of just really kind of enlightening us on the things that are happening in the construction space and your organization. Let's talk a little bit about you. We can shift gears a little bit. I know this is the hardest part for our guests because they're all
like
so humble.
About themselves. Yeah.
We won't spend a lot of time on it, but I'd love to hear more about some of the things that have that you would say have contributed to your professional success. Or do you have one more thing?
I have one more comment about Associated Builders and Contractors.
We
talked about our training and workforce development programs, but we're also big in political advocacy. I mean, none of this happens without the right decisions being made at all levels of government. And we're very active with our political advocacy program at all levels, the city, county, state, and federal levels. And then we also just provide information for all the entire industry and the community, too. Construction-related information that we pass out, whether the laws are changing or different economic issues that come up, much like the Economic Alliance, which is why we work so closely with them, because they provide some information, and we want to make sure our members are aware of it so they can strategically position their companies as such. And so that's just some of the other services that we provide for the industry.
Nice. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think you said something that you were talking about the Economic Alliance, but it's so impressive to see the collaboration that happens between these organizations. I mean, it really is. I mean, just everybody's all championing the same things and pushing out the same agendas of how do we bring more jobs, how do we create more jobs, how do we
support the jobs we've got. Right.
And we've observed it, we've seen it, and you see it consistently with our guests that come on the show. We appreciate that.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah.
The humility is just amazing. So speaking of humility, let's talk a little bit about the things that kind of contributed to your professional success, made you who you are.
Well, one of the things that relates a lot to being a good association executive is you have to be able to listen and in a cool, calm, collected way, build a consensus of individuals that may have a difference of opinion and try to build a consensus that everybody can work with. Mm-hmm. One of my hobbies, if you will, is I referee basketball. I played basketball until I got so frustrated with the referees, they invited me to join them. So I said, well, yeah, how tough could that be, right? And so I joined the local basketball officiating association. I want to say it's 37 years now.
Wow.
And have pursued that over the course of time, still doing it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I love that because basically you make decisions constantly, whether you're blowing your whistle or you're not blowing your whistle. Every 10 seconds, you're thinking, okay, yes or no, in or out, right or wrong. And whatever decision you come up with, half the group is going to disagree with you, either this side of the gym or that side of the gym.
Right.
And you got to be very confident in what you do. You got to be able to pull both sides together and say, look, you know, we're being neutral here, we're calling the game as we see it, as we think it should be interpreted, and then you're working with disgruntled people. Half the gym is usually disgruntled, the other half loves you until the next time you blow your whistle, and then
right.
It changes
right.
There constantly.
It's a passionate sport.
It's amazing.
That's a nice
how
way of putting
people
it, right?
Can get worked up over a basketball game or
yeah.
Something like that, especially in the high school or college level. I mean, that people are passionate about it. And I love it because it puts you in the spot. You have to be very focused for those hour and a half, 2 hours that you're working the ball game. And you have to deal with people. You learn a lot of interpersonal skills of dealing with very angry people. Mm-hmm. And trying to explain what's going on in a way that they will understand and hopefully settle with. I don't think they ever really agree with you. but you want to gain their respect by just being the neutral arbitrator in the game. And I also like, because there's a little bit of pay involved, but it's also keeps me fit. I mean, you get to run a lot.
Right.
And I've worked with some of the greatest athletes in the Houston market have come on to become, you know, professional stars and stuff
wow.
like that.
Oh, wow.
So you only work with them for a few minutes in their careers or something like that, but you get to see them up close and personal and talk to them before they're stars.
I mean, right.
The high school level in particular, there's a lot of talent in Houston that makes its way up to the big leagues.
So are you able to, when it's time to just watch basketball, are you able to, like,
Turn it off
and just enjoy the game? Or
I watch very little basketball till playoffs.
Okay, there you go.
That way. Fortunately, the high school season ends before March Madness, and then you watch the pros in May and June, particularly if the Rockets are still playing.
That's like me. I had to
completely quit watching midget wrestling because it just, you know, it's like, those are my people. I take it so serious. You know, I'm just sorry. Clint, anything else that you have for Russell?
I mean, we covered a lot of good things, and yeah, I do want to reference that, you know, the show we do with Dr. Steve Horton, because I know you're passionate about CMEF and what they're doing. So if you didn't get a chance to check out that show, I do encourage you to go back and check it out, because we did talk about the impact that you guys are having with the high schools. And again, I know that's something that you're very passionate about as well. So we, I wanted to cover more of it with you, but we did cover it with him. So definitely go back and watch that show to pick up more about the programs that they're doing for CMEF and trying to get these high school students engaged. Cause it's dynamite stuff. Mm-hmm. It's dynamite.
Yeah, just to put that on perspective, ABC and CMEF are joined at the hip.
Right.
Associated Builders and Contractors formed the Construction and Maintenance Education Foundation as a 501c3 for some tax advantages. And also, I mentioned this pool of money that the industry puts in for training programs. They wanted to keep that separate make sure it doesn't commingle with ABC money. And it stays specifically for the training programs at the industry. So we formed the CMEF 20-something years ago, and it now has grown because of the success of the program. It's grown where it's actually has more income than the association itself. So it's like birthing a child, developing him for 20 years, and all of a sudden he's out on his own making more money than you ever made. And it's what life's all about, right?
It's a great problem.
Exactly. To try to parent and then foster an organization with a great mission and see them succeed.
Right.
So while ABC has still been very successful in this town, our CMEF, has been even more successful.
That's amazing.
And I get a lot of satisfaction from that.
Right.
Well, Russell, we've really gotten a lot of great insight from you today. I think I'm always humbled to get to meet people who have such a passion. There's an underlying tone of service that goes into your position. You can't do what you do, put in the time, the work, the energy, the effort, all of these things, and bring all these people together if you weren't trying to make not only Houston, but the people's jobs, to create the opportunities, your CMEF, all these things that you're doing. You have to have a heart for that.
You can't fake it.
You can't fake that. You can't get in and just be collecting a check. And so I appreciate your passion, man. Unbelievable. It's probably one of the things that inspires me the most about the people that we sit in that chair, is their passion for our area. And I love that. So with that, we always like to close out the show with a little bit of gratitude. I'll turn it over to Clint for what he's thankful for. I'll share what I'm thankful for. And then Russell, if you have anything you want to highlight that you're grateful for.
So I'm grateful for our sponsors and their generosity. Our current sponsor gave us a book, and I'm grateful for books. I mean, I learn a lot, I read a lot. And so anytime I get a book, I can't wait to tear into it. So I'm grateful for the authors that actually take the time to put their thoughts and pen to paper and come up with those concepts so that we can all learn from their experiences and learn applications to make us more proficient at what we do. So thank you for authors. Thank you for the book writers that are out there. And thank you for the book that I got.
Awesome. I think based on my recent experience last night, and that, you know, part of the VEL organization, but getting to be around all those veterans, every time I spend time around our veterans, I just get humbled and honored to know what they did. I'm reading a book right now called Core Values, by a guy named Zell Miller, who was a former governor of Georgia. And it talks about the Marine Corps values. And while I didn't serve in the military, kind of in hindsight, I try to encourage these kids, if they're not getting into the workforce space, that they would go encourage the military because of the discipline, the structure, and the things that it teaches. And so I'm humbled for those leaders that are out there that are serving and taking care of us and protecting our country. So I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Well, I'm really grateful for the city of Houston. I came here 40-something years ago, thinking I was going to be here for a couple months, maybe a year. And one opportunity after the other has always surfaced. And Houston wasn't my first choice, but now that I'm here and planted here, I continue to be amazed at the economic opportunities that are here, and the people that I deal with and run into, and more people are moving in every day. This is a relatively small town back in the 70s, and now it's a mega city. And I'm amazed at all the construction that's been put in place, and just, again, the opportunity that I've had in the time I've been here. And I've always told people there's two things in Houston I don't like is the weather in August, and, of course, it's the middle August as we tape this.
Yeah.
And, that doesn't change. And then the traffic. And, of course, the traffic's because there's too many people here for the roads, which is really always been a boom to the construction industry. Because all the other things that they need besides wider freeways, the churches, the schools, the shopping, whatever.
Every time you're sitting in traffic, you're thinking, this is beautiful because I still got work. It's coming.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate your organization, your heart for service, what you do.
Thank you.
We're just humbled to have you. Guys, continue to stay tuned in. We're catching some great momentum. We're going to continue to do great things to the Gulf Coast Growth Show, the Economic Alliance, again, McCarthy, our sponsors, just the great things that are happening. As always, you can reach out to the organization itself, their marketing team, if you want to give us feedback, if you have any potential show suggestions or guests, tune in and stay connected to all the great things that are happening with the events calendar. And make sure you connect to Clint or myself via LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
And you can always send us up feedback, thoughts, or if you want to talk to us about being on the show, you can always reach out as well. We're happy to connect you.
Absolutely.
Put you on a list and reach out to you and see if there's an opportunity for that. So thank you so much.
Thanks.
And you guys, we'll see you next week.